from this series has been called Moving Forward in Life. And I'm really trying to see us kind of set the pace and set the tone for what God is saying to us in 2015. Because the Lord God, I believe, really wants us to go into, again, new levels in Him. And I really hear the word that what God is saying in the prophetic realm as we prayed before the service this morning. As I've heard people talking here and ministering in the front part of our church as well during praise and worship time and prayer partner time, I'm hearing the Spirit of God saying to us, He's starting to start putting us more and more on display to be seen by the world. This morning's message here is called Walking Worthy of God. Walking Worthy of God. Last week was about getting serious with God. I hope you were here for that. Took notes with that and made it also a practice to put into practice the word that was spoken there about taking serious God Himself. There's so many folks, again, that are kind of going, we've gone through kind of a spiritual lull here on the tail end of the charismatic movement. And what God desires and God wants is for us to refire, not retire, in the things of the Lord. God is still calling us, no matter what we see happening around us as a whole, as far as the spiritual realm goes, whether it's up or down or flat. He wants each one of us to be those that are on fire for Him, that are becoming closer and closer to Him, that are hearing His voice more and more clearly, and being postured or bearing more fruit every single year we live on the face of this earth. My prayer is we look back at 2015 when December finally comes and we got the Christmas trees back up again and we're celebrating Christ's birth again. We look back and say, look at all the good things God has done this year. And may that be so in our lives in so many ways. And so this morning, we're going to talk about again the sense that God is putting us more and more on display. The Bible says that the Apostle Paul was talking one time, I think it was to the church in Corinth, I believe. And he said, it's like us apostles are being put on display at the end of a procession in a parade. And what I hear God saying to you and I is, God's going to start causing your neighbors, your co-workers, your unsaved relatives and unsaved friends around you to start looking at you more and examining your life. Not because they're trying to judge you, but trying to find out, is there really something to this Jesus thing in their lives? Amen. God's going to show you off. You are the fragrance, the Bible says, of life to life and death to death. And God's going to cause your light to so shine, I believe, before men. They're going to see your good works and then one day glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Okay, do you believe that? God is good not just to us, but God is good through us. And God wants to do good things around us in greater and greater measure. Ephesians chapter 4, let's look here at verses 1 through 3 and 13 through 15 as well, New King James Version. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. God is saying here by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul, He wants us to walk worthy of the Lord. You got to imagine that and realize that we are called ambassadors for God. We are called those that are little Christ. We're Christians. And we're like Jesus Christ to the world around us. Imagine our president, Barack Obama, or in the past it was actually George Bush, walking off of Air Force One. They walk off in Bermuda shorts, wearing sandals, in kind of a laissez-faire type way. There's kind of a que sera type thing, just kind of waving their arms, and just kind of being in a very, very casual sense. They don't do that because they represent the United States of America, represent the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. They come off there with their chest out, their arms back, and they're marching along here, and they're saying, I am the president of the United States of America. Amen? And what God is saying to you and I is, start walking also worthy of the calling God's placed on your life. Have your shoulders back, have your chest out, and realize we are the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are the one who belongs to the Most High God. We are His ambassadors on the face of this earth to show forth who He is, the God of power, the God of might, the God of love, the God of compassion, and the God of salvation. Amen? We are people of the Lord. There's going to be three ways we're going to talk about this morning here that God wants us to start walking in a worthy way. And again, I'm hearing the same thing echoed prophetically here in this service this morning. It's going to be a time today, I believe, where God's going to help us to pray for people. And we're going to see, I believe, some release take place for people's lives, perhaps here, but also beyond this place as well, in the way that God directs us, as God wants to do. This is going to be about a fine-tuning type time also. So try to listen close, write down some things, but also don't let your minds wander right now to the week's events coming up. You may have a very, very busy week coming up. You may have right now some things to do today, but I'm saying let your minds be focused right now upon what God is saying to us and to you, that God may have His way in us, and His word will not return void today, but it will accomplish what God wants it to. Amen. So we're going to go slow here, methodical here, line upon line, scripture upon scripture, and see what God says, some guidelines to walk worthy of the Lord. Number one here, first thing I write down here, take-home point, is called walk in love. God wants us to walk in love. This talks about relational issues. Now, I'm hearing again this word again and again for 2015, that God wants the agape love of His kingdom to manifest in greater measure this year than years gone by. We've gone through a lot of things that would cause cynicism in the body of Christ. We had the Jimmy Swaggart scandal. We had the PTL scandal. We've had things take place for black eyes, for churches, congregations. We had churches split. We've had dead times take place where folks entertain their congregations and we see no Spirit of God moving among them. There's many things around us that can cause great cynicism among the body of Christ. But God is saying to us is, forget about what man does or does not do. Keep your eyes upon the author and finisher of your faith, who is Jesus Christ Himself. And the Bible says very clearly that God is love. My eyes must be upon the kingdom of God and upon God Himself, not upon the people around me all the time. I want to walk in the love of God and also walk in godly, loving relationships. We're entering in now to Valentine's Day this coming Saturday. Don't forget, you husbands, you wives as well, honor your spouse. Honor your one you're in love with for Valentine's Day. It's a time for us to celebrate again that love that God's placed in our hearts for people. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. This says to us, walk like your father does. Whatever you see God doing, you imitate Him, you walk like He does and act like He acts. Verse 2 goes on and says, walk in love. As Christ also has loved us, given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, as a sweet-smelling aroma, also, of course, upon the face of the earth. If I want to be an imitator of God, an ambassador of God, I've got to imitate God by walking in the love of God every day of my life. Amen? So what does God say are some ways to do this? How do we walk in love? Write some of these points down here in these verses. Next verses here, Ephesians chapter backing up Ephesians chapter 4, go back one chapter in your Bible. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. What are some ways that God says we can walk in love, to walk worthy of the Lord, and display the love of God upon the face of the earth? Ephesians 4:25 gives the first one here. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. When we talk about walking in love, it includes having truthful transparency taking place in our lives. That means I will try to be sure I don't do half-truths, I don't make things up, I try to keep myself out of trouble or loss by lying in my life. The Bible says Satan's a liar and the father of all lies. So wherever lies are at, I see the Bible telling us it invites in Satan's kingdom. I don't want that. I don't need that. Amen. You know, Cheryl's confessing this morning here about how she was not breaking the speed limit last Saturday morning. Praise God for that. God, I know, loves that and likes that. I, on the other hand, about 4 or 5, 6 months back, went to Myanmar in Asia, and I had to take and go to Houston, Texas, to go get a visa to enter into the country. And somehow, some way, they put these real tricky little cameras in Hutto on that main thoroughfare through town. Cameras that catch folks running red lights. Now, I was taught and trained in a superior state called Kansas on how to drive. And in that state, they told us in driver's education, as long as you enter the intersection on yellow and don't speed up in the intersection, you're not running a red light. Well, I did that in Hutto, Texas, In the mail about a month later comes a ticket and a picture of my car and says, you actually ran this red light. Here's a fine for $75. I didn't appreciate that. And I got to admit and got to say there, the camera's there. It showed the tail end of our car. The red light was on next to it there. So I guess I didn't get through there in time, and I got to pay the fine. But the good news is, instead of lying to Cheryl about why the $75 comes out of our account, I was transparent and confessed to her openly. I made a mistake. I should have stopped. I thought I had time to do this. And here is, I'm sorry, $75 gone from our account. Amen. God wants us to be transparent, to tell the truth, and confess our faults, the Bible says, even one to another, and not just cover things up and lie all the time, okay? So one thing about walking worthy of God and being walking in love, it means not lying to each other. Verse 26 goes on. The next thing here is, be angry, yes, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. If we're to walk worthy of the Lord in love, God is saying anger cannot rule over our lives. He's saying it's okay to get angry, but he says do not act on your anger. Now, it's very, very easy, I found, to not get angry in church services like this for the most part. Amen? It's out there on the highways, byways, and hedges, anger can manifest so rampantly. You got to realize that Austin has now tripled in size in the past 10 years or so. That means there's now divine congestion all over this city. That also means in HEB parking lots, 10 people want your parking space before you get it. Amen? And so anger takes place in HEB parking lots and takes place in also other places around our city as well by congestion, by folks jostling each other here, folks wanting what you've got. At your workplace, in your own house as well, by spilt milk, by chipped paint, by ruined furniture, by late fees on bills that were not paid, that were lost. All these things can bring anger into our lives. Little baby Caleb, born on Tuesday, was born on a rainy day. It was cold. It was drizzly. It was raining outside. The hospital he was at Round Rock Hospital, is now going through construction. They've actually cut off and shut down half of their parking lot right now. And so there's only a few parking spaces by the entryway to the maternity ward for Round Rock Hospital. When I got there, I thought, by the grace of God, somebody pulled out of a parking spot not too far from the front. I was kind of easing towards that, and some other person comes flying in the parking lot and grabs that space. They caused me to have to go down the street and park on the curb and walk in the cold air in the rain. Now, I got to admit to you, I was not very happy at the time that took place and happened. But the Holy Spirit came on me very strong and reminded me, and said, you have got much to be thankful for. The baby is healthy. The baby is doing great. His mom's doing great. This hospital's got great nurses, great doctors, great care. You have much to be thankful for. And I found that thanksgiving is the antidote for anger that will cause you to sin. Amen. So I want to say right now today to walk in love. When you find yourself getting angry by something around you, try to stop and say, Holy Spirit, show me something to be thankful for concerning this anger in my life. Praise God, I've got a car to get a dent on. Praise God, I've got a house that furniture can get broken with. Praise God, I've got gas in my house to heat my home up that I can have late fees on. Amen. We've always got something to be thankful for. For if we stop and pause and say, Father God, help me not be an actor on the anger in my life. Moving on. Controlling your anger is the ability to control yourself in high pressure situations. The Bible says in the last days, it says fearful times, demonic times will come. But it also says there'll be great tribulation happening in the last days. That word tribulation actually means pressure. There'll be more and more pressure on your mind, on your soul, on your time, on your finances, on your marriages in the last days. But again, it goes on beyond that and says, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. That means anything the world throws at us until Jesus Christ comes back, Jesus Christ has overcome it. And he says, now tap into my power, my love through thanksgiving when anger and pressure comes into your life. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 is the next one. How to walk in love is let him who stole steal no longer. If I'm going to walk in love, I'm going to have to walk in financial honesty. This means I'm not going to try to weasel you out of your money. I'm not going to tell you half-truths about finances. I'm not going to borrow things from you and then keep them for 4 years. I'm going to let that sink in. Right now your brain's saying, uh-oh, rakes, lawnmowers, tools, dresses, books. And they're saying, I'm not going to take and I'm not going to steal any longer. I'm going to always be financially accountable and take what is God's, give it to God. Take what is man's, give it to man. And take what is mine and give it to myself. Okay? Next of all, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. I like what the Amplified Version says here. The Amplified says, but for what is good to the spiritual progress of others. It says your mouth actually can bring out things that are actually going to contribute to the spiritual progress of people around you in your life. Isn't that good? Use your mouth for life. Use your words for life. Let your mouth bring out things that are seasoned with salt for the spiritual progress of people around you. That even includes prophesying. That includes working in the gifts of knowledge. That includes praying for people. That includes giving out compliments, okay? May those things take place out of our mouths more and more as we walk worthy in love of God Himself. Our mouths must be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's James say? James says, a mouth, the tongue, is an unruly member full of deadly poison set on fire by the fires of hell. That didn't sound very good. Yeah. I want my tongue baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to speak in new tongues, new languages. Amen? Life and not death in Jesus' name. It goes on and says that it may impart grace. Notice this, what Iris said this morning as well, by God's Spirit. It may impart grace to the hearers. Grace, through grace, by faith, you are what? You are saved. So God's saying grace has power. And God says your words have got grace, imparting grace to your hearers by the words of life that come out of your mouth. I ask you guys, this year of 2015, give this church called Tree of Life Church the biggest offering you can give it. And that is the offering of speaking words of life over this church. Speak words of life over Pastor Cheryl and myself, and all the leadership in our congregation as well, over James and Donna, over Jeremy and Kristen, over Nate and Sarah, over Cass and all of Greg and all the usher team and Dave and Anson and all those folks like Jack Adams that work here in the financial committee there and work in missions and overseeing things like Iris and so forth and like again Joey and people back there in the nurseries as well like Jasmine. I'm saying speak life with your mouth and impart grace to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We need your grace. We're called a grace gifting, and we need your grace in our lives, and it comes from the mouths of God's people. We never miss a revelation, I believe, also, of how deadly our tongues really can be. I told the church here in years gone by, this groundhog, I call it, illustration, about a pastor, two pastors in a small town. And the two pastors were in competition with each other as far as their congregation size and attendance was concerned. And both pastors were kind of at animosity toward each other, unfortunately, as time went by. But one pastor was very, very venomous. He chose to go ahead and take and hear a rumor about the other pastor having an affair with his secretary or someone like that. And so he began to spread the rumor around the entire town. This pastor has had an affair in his church. He's unworthy to be a pastor any longer. Well, the whole story gets out. The church congregation goes down in numbers. Giving goes backwards. People are murmuring, griping, complaining, getting upset. Things are going bad for his family and the entire church. Well, as days and weeks go by, the person that told that pastor, they accused him of these things. They told him, this whole thing did not happen. I made a mistake. He did not have an affair. He's innocent. Well, that pastor now felt pretty bad. He goes and meets the other pastor in his office and says, I apologize, brother, for what I said about you. It's been a lie. I realize that now. Can you please please forgive me from your heart. The pastor said, well, yes, by God's grace, by God's word, I will forgive you right now. Let me show you something. He takes that pastor to the top of his steeple, to the top of his, the tall, highest part of his building, with a feather pillow on a windy day. He rips that feather pillow open, lets all the feathers blow in the wind all over the town that day. He said, please go out there now and pick up and find every feather that was blown to the wind. The pastor said, well, that's impossible. I can't do that. There's feathers everywhere, every nook and cranny. There's feathers. Take me all year to do that. He goes, even so, the words you've spoken cannot be retrieved completely. The damage you've done is like feathers in the wind, settling in places all over this town. You cannot ever totally retrieve what your words have caused in damage in my family and my life. I forgive you. I'm going to try to forget about these things. May God be my recompense. May God be my reward. But again, it's like feathers in the wind that cannot be retrieved. Amen. So what God is saying to us, get revelation about how deadly your words can be over your children, over your spouse, over your friends, over your church, over your workplace, and choose to speak words of grace and words of life that bring forth beneficial things and not death. Amen? Can you catch that? Five people? Amen. Moving on here, verse 32. Verse 32, last one here about love. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. To walk worthy of God, we're going to have to be one who forgives people all the time. I told you guys that our former pastor, Larry Lee, taught us years ago in the 1980s, posture yourself every morning. When you wake up every day, say, Father God, this day, I choose right now at 7 or 6 o'clock in the morning to forgive anybody, anything they do to me, even before they do it, in Jesus' name. Be postured to forgive even before the offense takes place, because guess what? Offenses are going to come. You're going to get offended in this life. You got all kind of folks around you that are fallen people, that do fallen things. They're going to offend you somehow, some way. I'm saying, let's choose to walk in forgiveness from the very beginning parts of every day, and not walk in it with a chip on our shoulder, trying to find folks to be mad at, angry with, and get upset with in our lives at all. These guidelines are all wrapped up in one more verse. Verse 31, Ephesians chapter 4, says this. All these things in one single verse. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor. I'm going to give you guys today some $500 words. And one of those words is clamor. What in the world does clamor mean? The word clamor actually means quarreling, brawling, and contention. So let all quarreling, brawling, contention, clamor, all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice as well. And malice, of course, means to say things with the intent of hurting somebody else. So all these things, God says, to walk worthy of his love must be put away from you, that you might embrace the nature, character, and love of God through your lives upon the face of this earth. So, I control my anger. I don't steal. I watch what my mouth says. I walk in kindness, and I choose to forgive every day of my life. That's how I walk worthy of God in love. Amen? These aren't just ideas. These are ways I walk and ways I live for Jesus Christ. May God help us walk in his love in a worthy manner more and more and more as this year goes by. Number two, second thing we walk worthy of God is walk in the light. Walk in the light. These are character issues that Cheryl talked about herself, because there's darkness around us, and God says choose to walk in the light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 10 says this. You were one time darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what is acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. You know, I've gone through all kinds, dozens and dozens of x-ray machines and scanners and detectors in airports across the world. I've been scanned, I've been patted down, I've been x-rayed time and time again. But I have not had fear one time doing that. And why is that? Because I have nothing to hide on my person. There's no knives, no guns, no drugs, no snakes, no bombs. There's nothing on me. There's no darkness in my person when I walk through x-ray machines. Amen? What God is saying again, you're going to go through an x-ray every day because the light of God shines on you. May the light find no darkness in your life at all. Chapter 5, verse 3, read that sometime yourself. It talks about sexual sins being things of darkness. Those are rampant around us today. I want to focus more on verse 4. Verse 4 says in chapter 5, it defines part of the culture of darkness around us today. It says, let there be no filthiness, no foolish fleshly talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. What God is saying to us is, look at the average sitcom on American television, and you'll find coarse joking, filthiness, and things that are totally out of place. It's like a person wearing sandals at a prom. It just is not fitting for the body of Christ. Amen? So I'm saying to you guys, at your workplaces, when folks start telling dirty jokes, start pulling out porno pictures, start doing things of a filthy nature for sexual harassment, try to find a wise way to dismiss yourself from their company and try to find something better to do. We must reach the lost, love the lost, go after the lost, amen, but not be like the lost is. There must be a difference between light and darkness in our lives. Folks are watching us to see what is in us. And I finally got myself right with God in the 1970s, working in a grocery store in a secular realm. The folks that were there that were in the past around me telling the dirty jokes and turning the air blue with their swear words, using God's name in vain and Jesus' name in vain and so forth and so on, they suddenly started getting a convicting power upon them when they got around me and doing things like that. They started watching themselves just automatically. I didn't say things. I didn't make them do things. I wasn't preaching turn or burn, go to hell type thing to them. I'm saying God's convicting power just came upon them and started finding folks wanting to change their behavior, but they started talking to me behind the scenes one-on-one. What is different about your life that I need in my life? God's telling you and I, you're going to be on display this year in greater measure. Don't compromise and buy into filthiness and coarse joking and things that are not fitting for the body of Christ to be involved with. Amen. Remind yourself, I am a child of God. I belong to Jesus. I'm not a prude. I'm not religious. I'm not legalistic. I'm not judgmental. But I do belong to the Most High God, and I'm going to be acting more and more like He does. To be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Where I work, where I live, where I shop, may these things be so. Amen. That means also watching the eye gates, the ear gates, things we watch, things we call entertainment. Let those things be flowing right through the cross of Jesus and say, Father God, you show me what you accept and what's pleasing in your sight in these areas of my life. Darkness, I found darkness attracts darkness. Have you seen that? Darkness attracts darkness. Where one vulture finds a dead body, you notice that many, many vultures start doing the same circling in a little bit. Darkness attracts darkness. Amen. Flies attract flies. Mice attract mice. And cockroaches attract cockroaches. God is saying darkness attracts darkness. So resist darkness. Get rid of darkness. Expose darkness. Don't embrace darkness, because darkness increases and brings in more darkness into our lives. The culture of darkness also brings destruction, because Satan, the dark one, comes to kill and steal and destroy. But I have come to give life, and life more abundant is what God says to us. Paul is saying there's just certain things that don't fit in a Christian's life, and those things should be rejected by us at all means. Chapter 5, verse 7 goes on and says this: therefore, do not be partakers with them who walk in darkness. Now, it does not say don't be around them. Don't witness to them. Don't love them. It says don't be partakers. Don't eat. Don't call them close friends around those involved and bound by darkness. Okay? So again, God is saying here by His Spirit, He's saying don't find your oikos, your close friends, to be those who are totally unbelievers that are in blackness and darkness in their lives that will only cause harm to you in due time. Pick your close friends carefully. Think of ways to graciously distance yourself from those that are involved in darkness themselves, and try to find ways to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromising the character of God in your life, okay? Chapter 5, verse 10 goes on and says this next of all, about the realm again of darkness and being light for God, walking in light. Chapter 5, verse 10. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. That's a whole message right there by itself, because it's saying to us is you cannot know what God calls acceptable in your own mind. You got to find out by being around God, being with God, reading God's word to find out what God calls acceptable to Him. When you find those things out, then I'm saying do them, walk in them, be like them. It'll only bless your life. This goes back to being fitted with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and following His directions in your life. I pray, God, today we embrace the Holy Spirit. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit permeates our lives so much. We find His grieving work works in us for things that are not acceptable to Him. We're finding ourselves involved with in this life. Verse 11, chapter 5, goes on and says this now. Notice this. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Works are there. But rather, expose them. This is a very, very powerful verse also. Christianity, you've got to realize, Christianity is a lifestyle. We are called the light of the Lord. Amen? Now, it may seem like darkness is all around us in greater measure today than 10 years ago, and that may be true. But also the good news is there's been inventions take place in the natural realm that's called night scopes. These guys that are snipers involved in the military know what I'm talking about. They've now got night scopes actually taken kill varmints at midnight or 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning when it's pitch black. They can see things like it's daylight in the dark by new inventions. How's that apply to you and me? God has given forth more and more light to the body of Christ in 2015. There is no weapon formed against us that should prosper in Jesus' name. Though darkness may be darker around us, it seems like there's also more light and more grace now than ever before. And there's no work of darkness, but what God's not given us the wisdom to counteract it, come against it, and destroy it in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Darkness is more dangerous than daylight, because in darkness, you got to depend upon reflected light, the moonlight, to see things of danger around you. At nighttime, coyotes come out, possums come out, tigers, lions, and bears come out. All these deadly, nocturnal things come out during the night, very dangerous time to be prowling around yourself. You got to depend upon reflected light to see things of darkness. What that means is I am a reflector of God's light. I'm a fivefold minister, pastor. God speaks to me, hopefully. Shines through me to you guys. You're getting reflected light today. Direct light comes in the daytime where God speaks directly to us by His word, by the scriptures, or by His spirit. And those things bring to us deliverance and peace and comfort and power very fast and very quick. You see, Eve received reflected light. Eve heard what Adam said. God tells Adam directly, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then Adam tells Eve, reflects the light off of himself onto her. The reflected light doesn't catch in her mind because the enemy comes, Satan comes in darkness. And Satan says, did God really say in reflected light through Adam, do not eat or touch this fruit on the tree? And we all know the story that Eve fell because of reflected light. What I'm saying to you guys is, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. You see guys on TV like Joyce Meyer and like other folks as well that are powerful preachers and teachers there. They're giving out reflected light to the body of Christ. But I'm saying be those people who can discern and receive from reflected light enough light to destroy and quench the powers of darkness in these last days. Because God speaks a whole lot by reflected light upon the earth. He uses fivefold ministers, people in the body of Christ, books, CDs, TV broadcasts. I'm saying let reflected light be something that brings you enough light to see darkness destroyed in your life, because it's light that comes from God's kingdom through people upon the earth many times. Psalms chapter 18, verse 28, on the screen here as well, I think it is. Psalm 28, verse 18. The NIV, New International Version, says this very, very aptly. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Let's read this right now together. Let's read it together as a congregation. Let's read this. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. May that be your prayer from this day forth. May all darkness around us or trying to creep inside of us be turned into light. And may God show us as a lamp burns in us. May no darkness dwell inside of us in these last days. We're going to deal with darkness in a moment in this church service. We're going to see darkness, I believe, vanquished in some areas of people's lives. Because God desires to have light, people of light, upon the earth. Amen? God says, well, we are salt, and we are light. And if we are those two things, what happens? Fruit comes out. Amen? And God wants fruit. And God needs people of light to bear fruit. Okay? So one of the characteristics of God is there is no shadow of turning in Him. No matter what darkness God sees, God conquers it. There's no shadow of darkness or turning in God. God knows every trick Satan has. God knows every sin around us. God knows every temptation. And there's no shadow of darkness, no shadow of turning inside the Lord God Himself. He is light. What that means is nothing fools God. Nothing's too big for God. And God can deliver us of any piece of darkness that's been placed in our lives somehow, some way, because He is light. Number two is walk in wisdom. This talks about lifestyle issues, walking in wisdom. This next $500 word comes out in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That's a big word. It sounds like circumstances. It sounds like circumference. What does it mean? It means full circle. It means all around. It says here, see that you walk circumspectly, inspecting all the things around you in your life. Not as fools controlled by the flesh, but as wise. What God is saying here is, when somebody comes to your house, your daughter comes home from school and hooked on drugs or is now pregnant perhaps, unfortunately, what God is saying here, walk circumspectly. Look at the whole picture. See what God is doing and saying in the whole circle of this bad thing of darkness happening in your life. And then act and walk in wisdom, not just in knowledge or by your flesh or your intellect. Walk circumspectly. Amen? Circumference means a full circle. Circumstances mean to see the entire circumstance around you. Don't make judgments on one little piece of evidence. Walk circumspectly. Try to see the full gamut of counsel and the full circle of wisdom around you. There are things like the schedule you keep, the way you spend your money, the way you live your life that God is saying, walk circumspectly in those things in your life. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, redeem the time, buy the time back, because the days are evil. This means your schedule. This means that it's in God's wisdom inside your life, how you manage your time, your family, your household. Let those things again be intervened by God Himself to walk circumspectly in them. We should manage our time so that we have time for a family night, time for a date night, time for hobbies, time for recreation, time for rest, and time for fun in our lives. Amen? Date nights, family time, hobbies, recreation, rest, quiet times, reading the Bible, praying to God, praising the Lord should all be things that are scheduled in our lives. Amen? So we cannot live a quesera type life all the time. We need to walk circumspectly with wisdom in our lives if we can. We should manage our time, manage our schedules, manage our finances, manage our bodies. Those who are experts in health and physical fitness, they are saying today that our lifespan is not just based upon genetics. It's mainly based on our lifestyle. Do you realize that? Your lifespan and quality of life is not about genetics only. It's mainly about the lifestyle you have upon the earth. We're going back to the gym. I am starting tomorrow. And I found the hardest machine in the gym is the front door. Isn't that right? Amen? That's the hardest machine in the gym. If you can open that front door up and walk through it, that is the hardest machine to conquer in the gym. Because it's not fun, it's not good, but when it's all over, it was good. I'm glad I did that. I feel good now, but it wasn't fun at the time. Amen? Chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This includes spending money we don't have. One lady who could not control her credit card spending, she now takes her credit cards and puts them in the freezer in blocks of ice. So they got to thaw out first before she makes a purchase with them. Make sure to stop and think, okay? So do something radical if you can't control your spending. Can't control your credit cards, amen? Learn from those things like that. Verse 5, or verse 18, chapter 5, goes on. It says this next of all. Do not be drunk with wine, $500 word coming up here, in which is dissipation. Big word. Dissipation is associated in the Greek language with a product, what's called prodigal living. It means boundaries have been wiped out. Drunk people have little boundaries. They're here on this side of the road, that side of the road. They can't walk a straight line, can't touch their nose, slur their speech, pick up on folks in a wrong way. Okay? Dissipation means do not be drunk with wine or anything that brings to you a lack of boundaries and control over your life somehow. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what God is saying here is, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to find yourself being tempted to be filled with things like wine or drink or drugs or prescription drugs or painkillers or things that alter your behavior in your life, okay? Now, this morning's question is to you guys, does anybody have a chemical or drug control in your life at all? That I believe that God wants to deliver and set us free from that by His power, by His might, and by His own Spirit. No matter what job we have in life, I've had one really job, really bad job for 2 or 3 weeks years ago at a grocery store in Dallas. It lasted 3 weeks because these guys lied to me. These guys gave me the wrong hours, wrong work, wrong equipment, wrong everything. I did not like that job at all. But I found that no matter how bad the job is I have, nothing is worse than slavery. Isn't that right? Because slaves are owned by other people, and they have no choice what they do any day. They have no choice. They lose all choice and will in their lives. The Bible says this, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, NIV again. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If any drug or chemical or painkiller or sleep aid controls you, masters you, the Bible says you're a slave to that. You don't have total ownership of your own faculties in your life. The good news is, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? So one nutritionist said that a good way for us, even in the weight realm, when you can't control the way we eat, to maintain or lose weight is do these three things. Eat like a king for breakfast, eat like a prince for lunch, and then eat like a pauper for dinner. And then eat nothing after 7 o'clock every night. Now the problem is, about 9 or 9:30, your stomach starts roaring out and saying, "Long live the king!" Amen? That's the problem. Now, this verse does not apply to tonight's meal at Johnny Carino's at dinner time. All bets are off on church functions. All folks know that God's anointed the body of Christ to eat food at functions. And there's no calories, okay? There's grace for that. But starting Monday, think about this. Eat like a king for breakfast, like a prince, salads, something medium, whatever, for lunch, like a pauper for dinner. Ezekiel bread with almond butter, carrots, celery, and unsweetened iced tea. Doesn't that sound good? If you'll do that, you will live a long life, be healthy, and love your life on the earth. Amen? If you can't not eat it for 7, go to bed at 9 o'clock. Go to bed at 9, okay? This is about lifestyle, wisdom, schedule, habits. God is saying to walk worthy in Him, we need to walk worthy in love, walk worthy in light, walk worthy in, number three was actually walk worthy in wisdom. As James, come back to the platform now to help me out, please, at the end of the service. I want to have some time for prayer as well. If you can, write these three things down quickly. These are three changes I want to make this year in my life. And I pray that you also make these changes perhaps in your life. Because Cheryl asked us today, how many want to change or need to change? And many folks raised their hand. These are three changes I want in my life this year. Number one, I want to strengthen my weakest relationships by walking in forgiveness and controlling my emotions and my words. I want to strengthen my weakest relationships by walking in forgiveness and controlling my emotions and my words better this year. The question this morning is, who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to forgive? Number two, I want to shine the light on my temptations and failures and seek to walk with people who please the Lord. Because I found that I got to be accountable to somebody. I need to find somebody who's strong where I am weak, who has no problem where I have darkness in my life, and learn to walk with them to receive their light in my life, in Jesus' name. Number three, I want to change my habits so that my lifestyle is healthy financially, physically, and spiritually, in Jesus' name. I want to change my habits so my lifestyle is healthy financially, physically, and spiritually. That again says to me, who am I going to take and imitate in their lifestyle this year? Who am I going to find who's strong where I'm weak at and imitate them somehow? The main one, of course, is God and Christ, but also people God puts in our path who may have a strong area that we're weak in. That's what God is saying to us. Jesus talked about being connected to the vine. And what we're saying here in this message today is this. This is not about seeing how good we can be. It's about letting God live His life through us. Not trying to be good and be religious and make things happen by your flesh, but letting God be God in us, because He is the vine and we are the branches. What God is saying to us here today, and asking us today, is anything controlling us? Are we a slave to anything in our lives? As I prayed on Friday about this message, this service today, the Spirit of God began to highlight to me that one point there about addictions to chemicals. There may be somebody in this room today that yourself, you're bound in some way by addictions. Alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs, painkillers, sleep medications. These are things that will take and lead you in a path of darkness, not light. They will not bring a good ending to your life. They're bad for your body. They're bad for your soul. And they take and annihilate things God's doing in your spirit that God wants to do. Be mastered by nothing. Be a slave to no one, is what God says. I am free to be a servant of the Lord, but not a servant to painkillers, medications, drugs and alcohol, caffeine and even sugar. Those things will not rule over my body any longer. I'm so proud of Cheryl. Cheryl's given up sugar now for over a month. And she went through withdrawals. You get headaches, migraines. She wasn't really shaking and going on the floor, crawling around like a baby on the floor. But I'm saying that there's things your body does not like when it gives up caffeine or sugar because they're addictive. Now, I'm not a spiritualist, she is, but I don't eat near the sugar I was eating even a month or two ago. Amen? There's not many cookies or pastries or Round Rock donuts or cakes around our house right now, so please don't bring me any right now. Wait till March. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm saying to you guys, I'm trying to take and I just eat a few little Hershey's Kisses here and there, or I'll take and have a few little chocolate-covered peanuts here and there, okay? I'm trying to watch the sugar intake of my life and try to use honey more in hot tea instead of sugar in hot tea. There's things like that. But God is saying to us is, ask the Holy Spirit to show us what may be mastering or controlling my body in some way that influences my lifestyle in a way that's darkness, not light. I want to see God today touch that, heal that, deliver that. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a moment here. Because I know today that I asked the Holy Spirit again this morning, how do I pray for people about things like this? Because it may embarrass some folks to say, I want to come to the front, Pastor Mike. I want to admit today I am addicted to alcohol, to drugs, to whatever. So what the Holy Spirit put in my heart was, we're going to pray for ourselves, but also for somebody else who we know may be addicted, who needs freedom in their lives, that God would set them free. How many folks today, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed today, could raise your hand and say, I myself or someone I know has an addiction problem, and I want to see them set free? Would you raise your hand right now? Anyone in congregation knows somebody or is that person who needs freedom in your life or their lives, in Jesus' name? Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to ask all those whose hands are raised up to pray for either yourself or somebody else. Please come to the front right now if you do that, because I believe today there is an anointing in this place to break bondages, if not for you, for somebody else. Amen? So go ahead and come to the front now, all those whose hands were raised up, those who want to join them as well. I'm going to have prayer partners that are here to go ahead and start standing behind these people as well. I want those that are here that also have been freed from addiction to come to the front and stand behind these people. If you've been freed yourself from addictions of any kind, come to the front and stand behind these people right now. I'm going to pray for you guys in the front here as if you're praying, I'm praying for you. But I'm going to also pray as if I'm praying for folks you know who need freedom themselves in their lives from something in their lives. Hey, Maria, if you wouldn't mind, just go ahead and walk towards that way a little bit more. It's scrunched up so much over here. You that are out there, if you can, stay a little longer. It's only 5 till 12. Let's pray. Put your hands out, your faith out right now towards these people. Let's pray for them. Let's ask God to touch them. Let's ask God to minister peace and health either in them or through them in the way that He wants to do right now. Let's begin to pray right now in the Spirit.